Okay, page work and the enrichment class, continuity of scripture, the Gospel of Matthew, week 16, Jesus' temptation, proof that he is the Son of God. Okay, I want to start off with, and this is so apropos, I do believe, especially in light of what I was just sharing about Patty Goss, that I thought of the other day our Bible theme for the year. And Michelle is smiling because I know Michelle knows the Bible theme. Does anyone else know the theme of the Bible? And this is bad Kathy. I'm slapping my hand because Kathy doesn't bring it up every week. So I think that there were some people, I know that there were some people who don't know it because you're new. And I haven't been mentioning it for months. But other than Michelle, anyone else know what that Bible verse is? Okay, this is really, it's a lesson for me. It's Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And you know what? We usually leave it at that. But it goes on to say, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And I got chills. The be still part is great, but to know that God's going to be exalted in the earth, do we believe that? So I have to read a lot of these verses, and it hits me, and stand back and say, do I believe that, God? Am I living like I believe that? So yesterday in devotions, I'm in 2 Corinthians, and Corinthians has always proven to be not a stumbling block, I don't want to say that, but I have a mental block with 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and the background, and it has to do with some letters that Paul had written that aren't part of our Bible, not part of our scripture, and that he alludes to. Maybe that's part of it. But that aside, I was in 2 Corinthians 2, and what I call my life's verse is 2:14, 2 Corinthians 2:14, which says, depending on how your translation reads, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. What's that word? No, I'm not talking about triumph. Always. Triumph is good, yeah, because it has to go with the always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him, of the knowledge of Him, of who He is in every place. And I'm ending with that. There's a great, verses 15 and 16 are wonderful too. What?
Yeah, I quoted that to my friend last night.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I told her, I go, together we are the fragrance of Christ. It's beautiful, but yeah, we are putrid to those who...
Yeah, to those who are perishing, it's the aroma of death. Yeah, yeah.
And you see it, I get attacked sometimes in the story. It doesn't bother me. It has nothing to do with me. But you know that's what it is.
Right, right. So, but victory in the midst of everything that's going on, everything that we hear on the news that is so, it can be so defeating. And that's why I wanted to sing Soldiers of Christ Arise, put your armor on. That's what we need to be wearing. And we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So today we're looking at a difficult lesson. But that's victorious. It's difficult, but it's victorious. And it's the beginning of Matthew 4. And at Jesus' baptism, which we have finished looking at for now, you know, always, we didn't exhaust it. We never exhaust the Bible, this side of glory. But at Jesus' baptism, we have to remember that God declared Jesus as the Son of God. He made that declaration, right? And Jesus was baptized to identify with sinners. Okay, so he identified with sinners, with the people, the flock of people that came out to the Jordan River to be baptized, to confess their sins. It's just amazing. So he identified with them in his baptism, and then Jesus identified with them again in his temptation. All right, how does that work? Well, and that temptation took place immediately, or so it seems. Chronology in the Gospels can get a little rocky, because it's Matthew is sticking more to the themes that he wants to address and tell the Jewish audience that he's writing to about than the chronology. So that's why you might have a book at home called Harmony of the Gospels. That book was written because you can't find a good chronology in one, either Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, and they have different themes. So, but that's great. That gives it's still not. We can't say it's a biography of Jesus, but it's what God wants us to know, and it's powerful. You read one verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Like, hey, take that to the bank, you know, and you're set for all eternity.
Childlike faith.
Yeah, a childlike faith. Yes, that's so important. So look at Matthew 4:1, and it's written out in your handout. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that verse, man, it's powerful. You know, you might be reading, okay, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted, no, wait a minute, just let's get focused on the first verse. Who led him up into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. He was just announced to Israel as the Messiah by John the Baptizer. And now he's confronting Satan. And if you remember, we were sitting here, and David, you brought this out a couple weeks ago, and from John chapter 1, because it's in that, at verse 32, it's in that verse that John writes that John the Baptizer saw the dove, the Holy Spirit as a dove, alighting on Jesus and remaining there, remaining. He doesn't use the term remaining in Matthew. But just think of that. Jesus carried out his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. And you're thinking, okay, but he's God, you know? But do we understand, anybody fully understand the Trinity here? No, Patrick does.
An egg has three parts, but still one egg. Be whole with chickens, the egg is one.
So. Yeah, but those analogies break down. Those analogies break down. So, but anyway, we need to know that there's that faith element. We don't have to sit here and write out a term paper about the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity because it says it in the Bible.
One
Richard.
Thing about Jesus, he's the king, the son of David. Each Davidic king was supposed to follow the law of Deuteronomy and know that backward and forward. There's even passages about the king in Deuteronomy, a few paragraphs. And so he was... Satan was testing out this king, and
right.
He answered all the time from Deuteronomy.
Right.
Like he's supposed to do if you're going to be king.
Right. That's a good point. As a king, that's right, because it says in Deuteronomy that especially that kings shouldn't have horses, right? Is that the part you were going towards?
Oh, yeah, that's a few passages, not take many wives.
Yeah, exactly.
Big ways, like Solomon.
Yeah. Jill?
But Jesus was fully God and fully man.
Yes.
He was led by the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit.
And he took on flesh, and that's what we're going to get into. We are not going to finish this today because this is in two parts. And it's going to bring up some questions that I want you, like Dorina had pondered what you learned last week. We need to ponder some things as we read through this passage about his temptation in the wilderness. And there are times when I don't even want to say temptation. That's a tip-off, okay? So
what I wonder is, did Jesus feel tempted knowing who he was dealing with? It's kind of hard for me to feel tempted by someone I don't trust. I'd be thinking, no.
Well, save that for later, Patrick, because we're going to get into it, be it maybe at the tail end and definitely more so next week, all right? So Jesus' conflict with Satan was prompted by the Holy Spirit, okay? Just let that resonate. And Satan didn't come after Jesus. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness on purpose to be tempted by the devil. Why? To declare victory. I'm just going to you know, give you those three words now, and there'll be so much more. Look at Mark 1:12 in your handout. Mark has the word immediately in his gospel a lot. It's like the Cliff Notes. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's a brief. It's a briefer account of Jesus. Mark is so immediately. So following Jesus' baptism, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, and that Greek word for drove means to drive out with force. Well, I mean, so there was no denying that this was definitely in God's plan for Jesus to confront Satan. And here we have the Battle of the Ages. And as I wrote that, and I left it in your handout, I believe, I don't think I took it out, it's really the continuation of the battle. Because when did the battle begin?
In Genesis,
yeah. How? And I was thinking of that because you're thinking Genesis 3 when sin entered the world. How about Revelation 13:8? Revelation 13:8 tells us Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know, God's plan is eternal. So there is that battle that was seen in eternity past. Okay. And two, when did this happen with Lucifer? When did Lucifer, who was an anointed cherub, beautiful angel, seemingly protecting the throne of God in heaven, when did he clench his fist, so to speak, and look and say to God, "I will be like the Most High," you know? And since those words, so the conflict continues. And what's the setting for this battle, this temptation that's directed at Jesus? It's in the wilderness. And the Greek word for wilderness is eremos, which means solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited. But it wasn't uninhabited by wild beasts. Wild beasts were in that area. And just think of it, Jesus just came from the Jordan River, that was a lush place, and went into this wilderness to do battle. Why, and I have a question to me, but this one I took out. Why is this conflict at the outset of Jesus' ministry? And I think I took that out of your handout. It's not at the outset. It has been going on since the genealogy. Think of this, genealogy. There was a roadblock. That's the first chapter in Matthew. And yeah, it's great that the Jewish people are reading the book, the scroll of Matthew, after Matthew wrote it and said, yes, if they hadn't made a decision about Jesus, they would say, yeah, look at his lineage. He is a Jew. He is the son of David. He's got a link to the royal line. But you see a roadblock there. Because in Jesus' genealogy that we see in Matthew, which is Joseph's genealogy, there was a king that was so evil, and his name was Jeconiah or Coniah in some translations, that God said, none of your sons are going to sit on the throne. And Jesus is in line through Joseph's lineage. And so what do you see as the answer to this roadblock immediately in the first chapter? The virgin birth. Mm-hmm. So there's victory right there. You have a roadblock, you have victory. And then the Magi visit the child Jesus, and they encounter Herod. And Herod is devious, and he gets some information from the Magi. And then what does he tell his soldiers to do? Kill the Hebrew children, yeah, the males from 2 years and younger. So, but what happened? The angel of God met with Joseph in a dream and said, go to Egypt. So there's victory there. And we see that all the time. We're living in chaos right now, but there's victory. And I was going to bring something else up, but I won't. I'll do it another time because it could be a topic for another lesson. So who is Satan? This is what we want to say. Who is Satan? In the Hebrew, and I got this from Pastor Darrell years ago. I had never heard of this. It's Ha-Satan. Hasatan, which is really the Satan, and Satan means the adversary. So Hasatan would be the adversary. Devil means to slander or attack, but Lucifer's name means shining one, shining one. So you look at 2 Corinthians 11:14 in your handout, and I better look to see that that's there. Yes, it is. And it says Satan, this is important to take note of, because it says Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. How many times have I said, have you said, oh, Satan is an angel of light? He transforms himself into an angel of light because he is a deceiver. He's, what's that?
Liar.
Liar. He's a father of lies, yeah, and he is a deceiver. Most definitely, too. So, what does this transforming himself mean? He masquerades himself. So, Satan puts on a disguise to attempt to deceive. And in John 8:44, Jesus tells us that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, and we as believers, we need to remember he's a defeated enemy, a defeated foe. And again, we need to cling to that victory that God has already won for us. So we live in that position of victory each and every moment of the day. We should be living. I should be living in that moment.
Regardless of our circumstances.
Yes, regardless. Mm-hmm. In the handout, I put a quote from C.S. Lewis. From anybody read Screwtape Letters? Yeah, that's really an eye opener.
Years ago.
Yeah, for me too. Yeah, I can tell you that it was in 1973. Because, but anyway, Christmas Eve. Ho, ho, ho. But C.S. Lewis says there are two evil and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devil, and this is so true. One is to disbelieve he is even exists. And the more I talk to Jewish people, the more I find that Jewish people don't believe that Satan exists. I have met two Jewish people that believe Satan exists. And one of them was a man who, when I mentioned Satan being behind the Holocaust, being behind the persecutions of the Jewish people, he started to cry. And he said, yes, Satan has been our enemy. So, but then C.S. Lewis says, so there's that disbelief. The other is to believe and to be overly, you know, riveted to things of Satan. And we see that happening today. I had this radio show on that was on last night. It was after the classical station, I think, went off the air, although I didn't think classical station went off the air. But anyway, the guy who came on said, it's been calculated that 25% of the United States population are witches.
Yeah, yeah.
I was floored.
And then the reason I know that, because Jan Markell did a couple podcasts back.
Okay.
And she said, she's all, it's just crazy because on Instagram, they're openly sharing their spells. And now they're open, they're like, oh, I have a spell for this. And they're open about it.
Mm-hmm. Again, when the restrainer is removed, you know, when the rapture occurs, all evil will be let loose here, all evil.
They're celebrating it openly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
25% are...
witches.
Yeah.
I find that hard.
Well, I did too. So, but you, Jill, heard it from Jan Markell as well.
Yeah, she actually went on to say, oddly, that... Tom Brady's wife is practicing.
Yeah, she does that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But isn't that convenient when I'm thinking of disbelieving the existence of Satan? Isn't that convenient for Satan? Because so many times people say, oh, Satan is just an animation, you know, with a pitchfork and blah, 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 and horns. Or people might say, oh, there's not evil in the world. Have you encountered that? There's no evil. Man is inherently good.
Does the Mormon say that Jesus and Satan were brothers?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Patty?
Probably not a saying anymore, but my grandmother used to say, you can deal with the devil that you know, but you can't deal with the devil that you don't know.
Yeah.
Religious,
yeah.
But it's very true.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If it's an enigma, mm-hmm. then, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you can, why being deceived or whatever, right? So, anyway, that's why we need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we really need to know who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And amen. So, the bottom line is why. Why the temptation? That's what we're going to talk about. Why, and as we study Scripture, you know, we need to be making observations about the passage that we're reading and asking questions. Why this temptation? Again, at his baptism, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by God the Father. And at his temptation, Jesus proved that he is the Son of God. So we're going to look at some contrasts between baptism and his temptation. As I said before, the location changes from lush, cool waters of the Jordan River to the desolate wilderness. Just think, and I want us to, and I want me to get fixated on what Jesus went through. For me, you need to say, I need to get fixated on what Jesus went through for you, you know, as you're taking it individually, as we're seeing this individually. The crowds, think of the crowds that had surrounded Jesus, that had surrounded John the Baptizer, who were getting baptized. Look at the joy. Even, I mean, they were confessing their sins, but they were doing so in obedience to what God had said in his word, and they were at the Jordan, and Jesus left that place and went to this barren, desolate wilderness.
I heard that the Hebrew word for desert, it means to speak. So when we're going through desert experiences in our life, that's when God's trying to get our attention.
It means to speak. Desert means to speak? Okay. I'm going to look that up, Patrick. Not that I'm saying I don't believe you, but... No, but I'm like Sharon. I can get skeptical. Desert means to speak? Okay, thank you. But yeah, to commune with God, what you're saying is important, Patrick. That's when we need, if we're in a dry spot, we need to be definitely communing, definitely, all the time communing, more so than perhaps. Okay. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus. He empowered Jesus, and he remained with him. He drove him into the wilderness. Jesus, by force, was driven into the wilderness. And then, more contrast, a few more. The voice of God the Father called Jesus, my beloved Son. And Jesus, what is he going to be hearing from Hasatan, the attacker, the adversary? He's going to be hearing lies from him. He's going to be in, you know, directly assaulted by Satan. And this is what he went through, 40 days and 40 nights for us. At his baptism, Jesus was anointed of God, and now he's being attacked by the adversary. And Jesus saw the heavens open. He did when he was baptized, and now he sees the one for whom hell has been prepared. Because we read in Matthew 25:41 that God prepared everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. So Jesus' temptation was definitely a part of God's plan. And let me put it this way. Jesus endured, and I know that's on your handout, and you should just encircle endured. Endured temptation so that he could identify with us. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, this is important, he is able to aid those who are tempted, right? Jesus, and you said it before, I think, Jill, you said 100% man. I always like to say 100% God, 100% man. And at his incarnation, and he took on the appearance of man. That's what it says. He became in the likeness of man. Those two words are important, all right? The likeness and appearance of man. He took on humanity. And Hebrews 4:15 says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And Jesus, as we just mentioned before, he was capable of understanding and sympathizing with us because of what he went through himself while he was God in the flesh. So again, Hebrews 4:15, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is without sin from eternity past through eternity future. I mean, he is the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So tempted as we are, yes, we're tempted in this fallen world. Does man have sin? Yeah. Are you in sync with me that Jesus is sinless? Okay. Okay.
Knowing that, and that's, there's another verse in Hebrews that says he learned obedience through what he suffered. And so I guess temptation is a form of suffering because he was hungry and other things.
You're leaving that hanging, but you want me to say something?
He had to go through stuff on earth, and there's a certain, you know, it's easy to say when you're in heaven, oh, I volunteer, Holy Father, I volunteer to bear their sins on the world, we'll take care of that. An easy decision, maybe.
I don't think so, being God.
Yeah.
You know what?
Well, maybe not that easy.
Because he knows. Being God, he's omniscient. Yeah. He knows everything. He knows about the cross. He knows the pain.
Experiencing something made him learn a type of obedience.
Yeah. Well, but the thing, and going back to Richard, that verse about he learned obedience through suffering, just remember, he was a baby. I mean, he was born a baby, obviously. Yeah. He had to go through levels of maturity as God. I can't wrap my mind around it totally, but I would say, because he is holy, he's always holy, he's always perfect, that at that level, he was perfect at that level, but there was still that he was growing up. Can I explain it? Can anybody explain it? Help me to understand, you know?
This is your side.
Because he was born into this world, so he developed, but he was perfect throughout that time. Okay, he was perfect throughout, period. Not that time, he was perfect throughout. So, but what we see in Jesus' temptation, we don't see the normal temptation that we come under, because has Satan attacked? Are we involved in spiritual warfare?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the time. Okay, but Jesus was witnessing the direct, full assault, fierce attack by Satan, whose intent was what? To destroy Jesus, to have him. In the temptations, we see that Satan's attempt is to have Jesus bypass the cross. We're going to do this easily, Jesus. You know, you don't have to die. Yes, he does. He came to die. But Satan was attempting to destroy Jesus, to destroy the whole plan of God. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's a good thing we're no longer under the old system where we had to sacrifice animals, because for me, the cattle on 1,000 hills in my
government. No, we're not under. Right. So, I won't go there. Okay. But in this account, this is significant for us to read. It's important for us to go through this in Scripture. And you know what? In doing so, we need to rejoice. As we see what Jesus went through for us, that's so important, but we need to rejoice in that. Because that's where the victory lies, because he won the victory for us. And in this account, our Messiah is truly spotlighted as the answer regarding sin. Because if he succumbed, but he could never. I'm going to give that statement. He could never. There are some people in the church who believe that he could have sinned, and that's where I'm going. There's an ongoing discussion about Jesus. Could he have sinned? And some say yes. I don't believe he could have sinned.
He wouldn't be God.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But I had a conversation with somebody recently And that conversation is continuing, and a believer. So
the theology is yes. quite interesting when people have different theology that's just not, it's not on the biblical needle. I mean, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. It's 100%
yeah.
true, or you have to rip out parts of your Bible and throw it away.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But there might be some people here that believe he could have sinned. Al?
So would that be labeled blasphemy?
Oh, that's a good that's a good question, because saying, you know, thinking of what Jill just presented, which is what I would present too. If he could have sinned, he is not God then.
Right.
Yeah, then where would you take that to that blasphemy word? Marguerite?
So, real interesting here at the first at the end of the first paragraph, like the setting, the wilderness, the Greek word Edemos, mm-hmm. being solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited by people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think back in the dark moments, times in my walk with him when I was without fellowship,
mm-hmm.
isolated, you know, those when I was, I don't know, 31, 32, I fell on the floor one day. I had been very spiritually dead. Anyway, I couldn't walk for like about a year. It was one of those things, but I cried out to God, so praise Him.
Mm-hmm.
But the isolation part, I believe, is a very important point. Satan, I believe, attacks us when we're not protected by the fellowship, prayers, when we're alone, by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
with no support system. Do you get
it? Yeah, but the only...
I found that in my own life.
But the only thing I'm thinking of, is, not the only thing, is we're overcomers.
Yes.
Even in that scenario, we are overcomers.
Yes, but he, the adversary,
oh, and
he's
clueless.
I'm going to get hurt now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's why we shouldn't leave ourselves vulnerable.
Yeah,
so
amen.
It's
yeah.
What I'm getting at is the fellowship that we enjoy as believers,
mm-hmm.
You know, the accountability, the support, the prayers, the just being transparent is essential for our well-being and our walk.
And praise God that we're convenient, that we're still getting together,
yes.
that the church isn't closed because of COVID.
Left, you know, without
yeah.
the hedge of protection, I believe that the fiery darts,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You know what, though? But I really believe we do always have that hedge of protection, but we might not believe it. Mm-hmm. So then we start doing the self-talk like, well, you know, I guess God isn't as, you know, great as I thought he was.
Well, no, I don't believe that, because I do believe we are victorious in Christ.
No, but some, but there could be self-talk. Haven't
yes.
you gotten involved in negative self-talk in your walk with
oh,
the
yeah,
Lord?
When
yeah.
you're down, you know,
right.
at your lowest point.
Exactly.
You start saying, well, what did Job do? I mean, what the people in the Bible, you know, why have you forsaken me? I mean, where are you, God? I mean,
mm-hmm.
even David and all that. It's the human condition.
Yeah.
That we
yeah.
are human.
But we got it. But we need to, again, put on the armor of God
Amen.
Each and every day, and right, soak in the Word of God.
Yeah,
so
all the answers are in the Bible, and mm-hmm. Hebrews says, "Don't forsake meeting together."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So,
well, I don't know if it worked every time, but it did work one time when I was really sorely tempted all alone, and I sang said aloud Psalm 119, saying all those words as a prayer. That really changed your attitude and mind. At least
yes.
it did for me. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Go through the whole psalm, not this part.
Right, right. That's a long psalm.
Yeah.
So.
Whereas this has been confirmed by Israeli scientists. They examined what the Shroud of Turin supposedly the burial cloth of Jesus. While the rest of us have 46 chromosomes, 23 from mom, 23 from dad, they analyzed the blood stains. There was only 23 chromosomes from the mother.
Oh.
Who was his father?
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that about the Shroud of Turin. Only 23 chromosomes. Have you ever heard that, Bobby? Or anybody? Okay. Check it out.
Yeah.
It does. It's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like that.
Yeah.
You know? So, okay, but we need to always be Bereans. Yeah. You don't like your question, something I say, bring it up, you know, and be Bereans.
Did you say that was an Israeli study?
Israeli scientists confirmed it.
That's even, yeah, that's interesting.
That's
more so. Patty?
Yeah, but we can't talk so that Jesus anguished in you know, that he shed tears and drops of blood. Right? So this is not like, oh, perfunctory, he's God, he can do this.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
And, I mean, I'm just reading your thing about, you know, here he is, Satan catches him when he's hungry, for crying out loud. He hasn't eaten for 40 days, right? So, you know, the crud he throws our way.
And it has been found, and it might be in the handout, that after you fast for a good period of time, when you get hunger pains, it's indicative of the fact that you're starving to death at that point. So Satan comes along when Jesus is in that condition. Not that he comes along. He tempts him for the whole 40 days. What we read, the three temptations that we'll get to next week, maybe, are when he is in that really vulnerable, as a human being, condition. Okay, Sharon?
What about free will? I'm assuming since Jesus was 100% man and 100% God, he did have free will.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, did you hear what Sharon said? What about Jesus' free will? He's 100% God, 100% man, right? Guys, Merbeth and Candy, he's 100% God and 100% man. Does he have free will? He chose, like Richard was saying before, he chose to tell God the Father, I will come down. And, you know, it pleases the Father to bruise the Son if he would offer himself as a sacrifice. So there's that free will. And just one more thing, David. He chose as 100% man when, what does that look like? He came to, I don't want to use the word set aside, and yet some people do. He chose, I'll just leave it at chose, which attributes. He had the choice of his attributes, what he was going to play out, manifest when he was 100% man. Okay, he doesn't have a sin nature. He doesn't have, so that's why I emphasize that Jesus came in the appearance of man, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Check out Romans 8:3, and there's another verse, but I want to go one more place, and then it's David and Jill. But so think of this: did he display his power when he was on earth?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he calmed the storm, he healed.
Miracles.
Huh?
Miracles.
Miracles. Did he take himself off the cross?
No.
No, and he could have. But what he did in terms of his power and what he chose to do was always for others, was for other people, not for himself. What did he tell the disciples? He said, you know, or anybody that wanted to follow him, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he chose many times. You were saying, going to say something, David?
I was going to say in the garden, he prayed. He said, not my will,
yes,
but thy will.
Right, right. And because we see him going off and praying throughout the Gospels and submitting himself to God's will, right?
So be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we do have free will, and so we can activate it by quenching the Holy Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So that's your free will to exercise, but you would be quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He guides us. But our free will can quench him or grieve him.
Mm-hmm.
You're still sealed.
Mm-hmm.
You can quench him.
But will goes, yeah. The freedom of choice is
And I don't know if you guys
very
remember
broad.
Damien, he used to teach here.
Who?
Darian
Bennett.
Oh, he was just psycho fun. He would say free will. I mean, I don't know. I can't duplicate with his personality or what he would say.
Well, he would say no to free will.
Yeah.
Did he? Okay, I heard Pastor Darrell say, I'm not so much for free will, but I'm for free choice.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a difference in that you're getting involved in stating what God's will is, mm-hmm. and coming across
I like the Holy Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and then not grieving him or quenching him.
Right. But I know when you said, Derek, I know where he's coming from theologically, mm-hmm. so I would understand why he says, according to what he believes, that we don't have free will.
Well, and you don't want to sin and say, okay, God, I know God will forgive me, because as a mature Christian and you sin, then you would be like, oh, okay, forgive me right away, because the Holy Spirit working in you would not allow you just to consciously go sin and then just be forgiven.
And here's another thing. Were Adam and Eve, and then we'll close. I'm closing the Bible. Would Adam and Eve, did they have free will, free choice? Okay, sin entered the world. Did that free choice get tainted? Just let...
There was the covering. Hmm? The covering happens. We had to be covered. Our sins had to be covered.
Well, our sins had to be forgiven.
Blood.
Yeah, by shed... Right, and atoned for in the Old Testament. But I believe that... And this is where I think Darian is coming from. That our will, our choice... has been tainted. That's why I can say in Ephesians 2, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. And when God stirs us, we be by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, that we are alive. You know, because that hit me one day. It was that verse in Ephesians. I said, if we're dead in our trespasses and sin, where does our choice come in? We can choose, mm-hmm. but it's tainted. So, you know, that's why for salvation, God stirs us. God needs to do the work in us. And because we are told to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be under His control, that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit means, to be under His control, then God, give me your thoughts. Give me your perspective on this, and may I see it in your way. That's why sticking to the Word of God is so important, Marguerite.
Well, you know, the renewing of our minds.
Exactly. Yeah, where it says it in Romans 12. What's that, Michelle? Huh?
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love and good deeds.
Yeah, yeah, this is good.
Okay.
There is only freedom to choose and free will. If you just go by himself, I'm tired of having fish for dinner. I want something else. But maybe my free will dictates I'll play for the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, go up.
No, yeah, well, yeah. I don't think we're in that league. No pun intended. Hey, Bobby, do you want to close us in prayer?
Father God, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we could week after week, day after day, hour by hour, as is available to us here in this country, we might be able to dig in and find out a little bit about you, about your love for us, about your steadfast love for us, about your plans for us in the future. I'm praying, Father, in this group here, I keep going back to Brad. Laura Lane, that they must be going through losing Patty, their mom. I just pray, Father, that your hand might be mightily upon them, giving them a comfort that they don't even understand, a peace that passes all understanding. It just happens so suddenly. But I pray for us, Lord, as a group, pray for our health, pray for our desire to want to dig into your word like we do every week. And again, it's available not just on Sundays. I don't mean to be preaching to the choir here, Lord. Mm-hmm. It's available for us all the time. I pray, Father, that we would have that desire to want to dig in and want to know you. Mm-hmm. We look forward to the next time we do that and be blessed and perhaps lift you high in some way by just studying it and loving you and proclaiming you and whatever open doors that you might give us. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for that. Just endless things more in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.